And so we see we must re-bolster our determination to live in I Am. Now let's take one way we can do that. Many on this earth have already accepted I Am as their name and their identity without knowing what they've done. And so it's in their mouths. They repeat it 10 times a day. They write it in a book somewhere, I Am. They believe I Am. But they act as if I am not. How are you going to know I Am if you still think I Am is your physical form and your human mind? Do you see then the acceptance of I Am is the death of the mortal you? All has been leading to the crucifixion of the personal self in order for I Am to be released in your awareness. We all want to be I Am, but we don't want to give up I Am Not. Now, even while you're deciding to give up I Am Not and to be I Am, that's just the beginning of a turning. You can hardly say that we're even a child at that point. We're still an embryo. I Am is not confined to a place. And when you accept I Am, you're accepting an identity that is not confined to the place where your body is. And this is where the important work must be done. Where your body is not the fullness of your being. For I am everywhere. And so the turn ye and live is turning from the belief that I sit in a chair, I walk in a body, I ride in an automobile. I Am does none of these things. And until you have the experience of I Am everywhere, even 2 feet away from this form is enough. If you remember, I suggested an exercise in which you recognized that the spirit of your being, the essence that you are, can never be divided from the infinite. For it is the infinite expressing itself. And the only way the power of the infinite could be functioning as the grace of your being was for you to identify as that spirit, that essence, because that identification brings you into oneness. Now, through the revelation of John, that which Jesus taught but the world ignored, I Am, is the name of your identity. It was the name of the firstborn, the one who became aware that I Am was his identity. It is the name of every individual on this earth. And it is the key to all of Scripture. It is the key to all spiritual teaching. It is the key to freedom. It is the key to everything that we have really sought. You cannot walk by and bypass your own identity without suffering thereby. So even though we won't perhaps do that exercise right this minute, I want to remind you that that which you are is not confined to this room. And unless you consciously do something about that realization, it will elude you. You will forget it. It will not become your experience And no matter what you say about identity, you will not be in the experience of identity. You must come to a place where you can know that your identity, being spirit, you are not confined to this room or any room at any moment. That you are simultaneously everywhere. You must come to that experience, and you will only come to it through the continued practice of simple exercises like knowing I am in the next room, I am 2 feet away from this form, I am in the grocery store, I am in the library, I am upstairs and I am downstairs, I am in the ocean and in the sky. There is no place where I am not. You practice this with yourself quietly. You don't need patients to call you for help to practice this. You don't need telephone calls. You simply go somewhere where you can be still within yourself and know that I am in the next room. And because I am in the next room, I am there as much as I am in this room, right now. I am down at the beach right now. I am in the office right now. There is no place where I am not right now. Take little bites of that before you try to bite off the whole thing, but catch the realization that you cannot divide the garment of spirit into a finite I am. There is no such thing. As those who have accepted this without knowing what they were accepting have discovered. I am that infinite spirit. And the wayward mind which would reject it is now the target of the 5th and the 6th vials. But I have not been able to come to any valuable state of consciousness without practicing that wherever spirit is, that is I. And spirit being everywhere, that is I, and that is my permanent self now. I'm not waiting for death, I'm not waiting for transition. I am now, everywhere. That must be your realized consciousness, and you can only realize it through practice, daily practice. Now I can tell you about a few who have done this, and how interesting their lives became. You see, when you are accepting your everywhereness, your everywhereness begins to feed back to you what you have acknowledged. Your acceptance is the bread you're casting out upon the waters. And your everywhereness casts this bread back to you. You only receive that which you have cast out through the acceptance of your everywhereness. This is the expansion of your being into your true being. You are in the city of Chicago now. And then you'll realize the city of Chicago is in you there now. This is abiding in your spirit. You are in every city of California now. And we're not playing games. This is the fact of spirit. You are there as I am. And the power of I am is there. And the presence of I am. And the wisdom of I am. And there is no other. And so what else is there? Nothing. Only I am. That's the fact you can depend upon if you're in that consciousness. I am is your name, and you are everywhere, and only I am is there. And when you deny that I am is sharing that place with another, when you think I am is sharing that place with another, you are out of I am. I am is all. And so nothing else is where I am is realized. No flood, no fire. Where I am is realized. No disease. Where I am is realized. Is I am your consciousness, then you will find then in that consciousness there is nothing to defile. Lack, limitation, not where I am is realized as your everywhere identity. Then that right there where the lack would appear to be, I am realized reveals that I am here, not lack. And it reveals it in its own way. This is not human will, human creativity, or human ingenuity. This is the death of those things. It is the acceptance of the higher and only self. And all the miracles of absent treatment by Jesus were the revelation of his consciousness showing forth. You thought there was a dead woman here, but you're wrong. I am. You thought there was a dead Lazarus here, but you're wrong. I am. You thought there was a dead little girl here, but you're wrong. I am. You thought the multitudes had no food here, but you're wrong. I am the food. It was the consciousness of I am everywhere realized, which showed forth itself as those things needed. And if you believe in I am, the works that I do, ye shall do. There could have been no absent healings by Jesus if his consciousness was limited to where he stood. His knowledge that I am the infinite self everywhere became the automation of grace, revealing the absence of the claim. For there was a true, infinite I am, which the world called Jesus. And it revealed the nature of its infinity by healings absent from the form. The sea that parted for Moses was the same thing. The ravens feeding Elijah were the same thing. Those things that happen outside of the form and come to the form are the I am realization that is standing there, brought forth into visible, tangible fact. Not by power of will, by living in that I am consciousness, which says, I am not here in this form, I am everywhere. And actually, we can't accept the newness of that fully. There is something in us that rebels, so another vial must come. The fifth angel poured his vial upon the seat of the beast. His kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. The seat of the beast, the authority of the beast. Earth consciousness, world consciousness, the channels through which world consciousness brings it into individual earth consciousness. All of that had been exposed, but now the seat of the beast, the authority of matter, the lingering belief that the issues of life are in matter. If I just had $1 million, oh, that would change it all. It wouldn't change anything. It would be 1,000,000 times 0. And although the illusion of it changing might continue for the next 20 years, eventually the illusion would be dispelled. We could all make our lives happier and more comfortable with more money, we think, temporarily. But that's not the purpose of spiritual living. The purpose of spiritual living is to get out of the parenthesis of a limited human life. And I am identity, accepted, realized, lived in, practiced. Even though you stumble many times, even though you finally say, oh, this is what it means to be a child again. Yes, I'm just beginning to be I am. A minute old. And a year later, a year old. Not even a tot yet. But I am is where we live and breathe and have our being. This is abiding in Him. Acknowledging only Him in all our ways. I am even my neighbor. I am every bird and every fowl and every beast. For only I am is there. We are moving through the thought images of the mind into a new level of awareness called I am. Out of the shadows, out of the echoes, out of time, out of space, into infinite essence, infinite light, infinite being, reality, as a child. We leave the toys of matter behind us. The authority of matter as being the possessor of the issues of life is finally removed. We see matter for what it is, a nothing. Life doesn't depend on matter at all. Life isn't in matter at all. We see matter for what it is, an image, in thought, in time, in space. And we do not identify with that matter, for we are I am. We are a new substance. And that substance does not come under the laws of matter. Cannot be provoked by matter. Does not react to matter. Does not defend against matter. Does not seek to acquire matter. It simply lives as itself, manufacturing through grace that which it needs of its own being, without effort. We learn the struggle and survival was all part of a human past. I am is self-sufficient in itself, unto eternity. It is the everlasting light. Whatever it needs, it forms. It need not be told what to form. It need not be petitioned. Before you ask, I shall answer. I am is the omniscient mind, using its all power to form whatever it needs when it needs it. I am is your name. You learn to rest in the effortlessness of being. And those who don't, it says, are gnawing their tongues in pain. Why? Well, the seat of the beast, the authority of matter, is gone, and yet they still have the desire for that matter, while knowing it's a hollow desire. They want what they can get, and they know when they get it, it won't satisfy. It's just a conditioned reflex of the past moving into the present, making them seek what they know can never fulfill the very truth that they are seeking. And they're torn in this dilemma. They only know what to seek in matter, and they know it cannot give them what they want. so they gnaw their tongues in pain. They blaspheme the God of heaven because of these pains, and still they repent not. Still they are determined. Still something keeps them in bondage to matter. It's a hard lesson. Again, another vial. The sixth. And this pours out its vial upon the great river Euphrates. The water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. You go back to Babylon and you see this great river Euphrates, and all of the wealth that was Babylon came through on that great river. The river that led to the symbol of human material power is called Euphrates. And so in us, that river of concept. Everything in us that justifies us in our materialism and our self-will and supports the belief that we are doing the right thing in matter and self-will, this is called Euphrates. Every argument you can dream up. So the sixth vial goes directly to that which supports the materialistic point of view. Every belief, every concept, every judgment, every memory, every conditioned thought, all of these are attacked by truth. Sixth vial. And the water is dried up. All our arguments turn to be of no avail. We know we're talking without believing in matter. We're overcoming materialism. And that is the way the kings of the East will be received. The kings of the East always refer to truth, divine truth. Finally, removing the last vestige of belief in matter, we are visited by the kings of the East, the three magi. The thoughts of the Christ instead of human thought descend upon us as materialism no longer has its hold upon us. But here's an unexpected thing. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They're identified in the next verse. These frogs are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the east, earth, and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And so, mortal mind, on its last legs in you, being a deceiver from the first, now prepares to take another disguise. These are called the three frogs. The world mind, the individual mind, and the belief in matter, all of which have taken a beating from truth, now gather together in their great fury and pain and appear as three frogs doing all kinds of wonderful miracles, all kinds of marvelous promises and new hopes, but always in matter. Everything in you from the beginning of time revolts against giving up the material world. And these are like three frogs. Every argument in the book tells you a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Hold on to what you've got before you give it up for something you haven't got. You can cite all kinds of scripture, even right from the Bible, you can find things to justify your belief that you still can get some good out of matter. And you see, the sixth vial is telling you that you can't get good out of matter because there isn't any. There simply isn't any. God didn't make matter. Spirit is spirit is spirit is spirit forever, and there is nothing else. And spirit I am. Everywhere, Spirit, I am. And these frogs, these teachings, will teach you how to have a dynamic mind. We'll teach you how to think positively. We'll teach you how to have all the things you have ever wanted in this life. We'll teach you how to be a happy, successful, resourceful, powerful human being. All of these frogs. Everything in you that would respond to a frog and take you away from the only simple truth there is, identity, divine identity, is your present name and identity here and now. There's nothing to be taught. There's nothing to learn. Only to accept who you are. And so the frogs do their work. They do all kinds of human miracles and all kinds of human promises. But ultimately, they do not succeed against that consciousness of Christ which is rising in you. The unclean spirits which are being prepared for this great test are massing together. They call it a great battle, the great day of God Almighty. And to prepare for that battle, Spirit says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth, keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his and they see his shame." To keep your garments, then, is to clothe your consciousness in truth. And instead of making a great complicated thing of truth, you can simplify it down to one word, identity. Identity is the core of all truth. Without it, you'll be grasping at straws. With it, you can't miss. You must stand in identity. And now he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And so we have seen that Armageddon is the meeting place between one who is standing in identity and every quality in a human being which says you are not that which you are trying to be. And you will either come out of that battle, that conflict of spirit and matter, as identity accepted, realized, and proven, or as a mortal being who must reincarnate back into form after the last day. Now, there are no prophecies to make about this conflict. It's all within the person. There were days, you know, when they all predicted, oh, that was the world war, and that was this war, and that was this flood, and that was this earthquake. That's not it at all. This is really when your soul meets your mind. And your mind is dissolved into your soul, and your soul is that which lives its life as you. Now, everything you've gone through up to now has been the preparation for this meeting, this conflict, this confrontation. If you weren't prepared for the confrontation, always world mind would win. But now we're being prepared to stand in identity for the times at hand. And to let all the thought images of the world, every antic it can pull, every frog it can produce to jump up and down in front of us as if it were alive. Touch that unswerving consciousness that I am, period. And all there is I am everywhere the eye can see, no matter what it sees. Historically, Armageddon was where the Israelites defeated the Canaanites at the mountain of Megiddo. And if you remember, the Israelites were outnumbered. In fact, they were unarmed. But they had a knowledge that there is only one power. They recognized there is only one power. It's the power of infinite good. And this is how we meet our Armageddon. The realization there is only one power, and I am that power. There is no other. That power I am. Infinite self. Now, with that realization of infinite self, the seventh angel pours his vial into the air. There comes a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." It was always the truth. You didn't attain anything before the foundations of the world, and now I am has been your name. It will ever be. And every problem you ever face will be your unwillingness to accept that name and identity. It is your Father's wish that you be I am. I think it's clear to us that for us the seventh vial is the realization that I was I am before I appeared in my mother's womb, before Abraham was I am. And we can thank that spirit which I am, which appeared on earth as a name called Jesus, because that was I am. That was I am walking everywhere under the name Jesus. That was I am walking everywhere under the name Moses. And it is now I am walking where you appear to be. You see, that's the new consciousness of the world, don't you? I am. And when it is your consciousness, even Armageddon becomes a real impossibility, because only I am there. The total hypnotism of world mind is exposed. It never was here. It only seemed to be. I am dispels world hypnotism. And where two had seemed to be, only I am. So it says later, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. The islands are those separate ideas we have. The ideas of separation. The mountains are the mountains of error that we see. There are no separations. All the islands are gone. There's one self. There are no mountains because there are no valleys either. There's one being. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. That hail is divine truth. And every stone about the weight of a talent, and the stones which are the weight of a talent are the mighty divine works done through your new consciousness. In your consciousness of I am, and I have no opposite, I am free of mortal mind, world consciousness. I am the eternal spirit functioning here, right where I stand, in what the world calls my form, then your works are the greater works, the size of a talent. And while you're doing that, men will continue to blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. It's hail to them, to you it's identity realized. That's what brings us to the 17th chapter. Now, let's see space for a minute. Space is never external to I am, but it is to the finite human mind. So when you say space is not external, you're speaking from the I am consciousness. When you say evil is non-existent, you're speaking from the I am consciousness. When you say only perfection exists, you're in the I am consciousness. And this becomes your daily practice. You're letting the human mind hold no power over your beliefs. You're stepping out from under that human, educated mind. You're coming into a level of awareness which the human mind cannot comprehend, which you literally cannot comprehend, and that's why the word faith is so important. You walk out from within the radius of human thought. You let yourself go into this other realm, trusting I am your infinite mind. I have gone before you. I have ever been before you. Wherever you go, I am waiting for you. There is no place where I am not, and I am you. Can you feel the freedom possible as we learn to rest in the infinite I am, acknowledging nothing else until it is proven, until it is realized, until oneness is all there is in your consciousness? That is the preparation which alone prepares you to live in the body that does not know death. You see that all these steps are necessary, and without them there can be no living in a body of spirit. That is how the body of spirit comes into your awareness. Suddenly you're not a body of flesh and you know it. You're a body of spirit. And then you realize, I am divine consciousness itself. And that is why there is no place that the Son of Man has to put his head. He is divine consciousness. I am the Son of Man. I am divine consciousness. I am not the son of woman. I am divine consciousness. And so in the 24th chapter of Matthew, it says that those who are with child, that must be the realization that you can never be with child. That's a material concept. There must be the realization that all is the infinite spirit. And even this in my womb, is but an imitation of the infinite spirit. Spirit. Only the infinite spirit is here being itself. Every material concept must go. Or else I am, the only, is not accepted. There can be no place where you make an exception. The mother feeding the child must know only I am is here as the very nourishment of both mother and child. The mother bearing the child must know only I am is here, showing forth to human vision as mother and child. Total, complete dedication to the one self I am, spirit, the invisible being, the only. is required. Otherwise, there is no acceptance, and you are breaking the oneness. You're back in the prodigal divided consciousness. Does that mean stop having babies? No. But it means have them in Christ consciousness. It means that everything done through Christ consciousness will be in the rhythm and harmony of the infinite universe. Now then, identity. I am. Is the key to mystical living. It is the key to life eternal. It is the key to harmony. It is the key to everything that is the allness of God. Without it, we are nothing. With it, we are all. Whatever we do from this point on in this revelation will be with that as the focal point of our being, leading into the complete domination over mind and body, which we started out to attain at the beginning of the year. I am, and I am not in a human mind or in a human body. We start chapter 17 next week, and it looks like we ought to have about five or six weeks from this Sunday on. Please look at the fourth vial in the 16th chapter, recognizing that its purpose is to teach you that your name and identity is I am, and that identity is not your personal property. It belongs to the universe, because I am is a universe, and you are not a person. You are a universe. Practice the exercise of being elsewhere in space, which is really not being in space at all. And if you're really ambitious, which I hope you are, practice it in time. I am 2,000 years ago now. I am 2,000 years from now now. And I'm not jesting, you can do it. And you can see that this begins to tell you who you are. You're accepting the infinity of being rather than this little blob of protoplasm we have called the divine image and likeness of God. We're looking now at I am wherever we go. Looking right through the form, for only I am there. See you soon. Thank you very much.